This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
4 minutes after the hour, it's Thursday, September 16th. Good morning, muy buenos dias, and welcome to another hour of Morning Air on the Memorial Feast of the Martyrs, Saints Cornelius and Cyprian. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for tuning in on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And happy Mexican Independence Day to all of our Mexican brothers and sisters, and of course, those of Mexican origin. I want to check in with Glenn Leverance. Glenn, what are some of the stories that we are watching this morning?
Well, John, our Holy Father always makes news when he holds a press conference on the return trip from his overseas travels. And he had a quick trip last week to Hungary and Slovakia. He talked about abortion once again, and he's been staunchly pro-life his entire pontificate. And, of course, before that as well, the Pope saying abortion is homicide, as he spoke with reporters on that flight. As well, in the debate about denying communion to politicians who support abortion, he said, if we look at the history of the Church, we can see every time the bishops did not act like shepherds, when dealing with a problem, they align themselves with political life on political problems. He said that bishops need to act in a way that is pastoral and should not go around condemning. They must be a shepherd in God's style, he said, which is closeness, compassion, and tenderness.
And Glenn, it's always interesting to see the Holy Father, who often speaks off the cuff, and this conversation that he had about the sanctity of life came aboard the papal plane on his way home from his trip to Hungary and Slovakia this week. The Holy Father made it very clear that that human life must be respected in all of its stages, and I think that that is such an important message that we always need to hear it.
Yep, he does that time after time. And he said, again, he preferred not to comment directly on that issue of communion. He says, I don't know the details. I'm speaking on the principle of the matter. But Pope Francis, again, calling out abortion as homicide.
Absolutely. And I know that we talked about my adoption story in the first hour. And I'm always reminded that you, too, know about adoption because you, too, were adopted.
Yes, I was. As a matter of fact, love to hear those stories. And what a beautiful story of Joseph Dominic and how he came to be a part of your life and your son. And I just want to thank you for sharing that. Relevant Radio, really, as a family, is very pro-life in terms of how adoption has touched so many. I loved how former hosts Sheila Logminas and Dan Cheeley were involved in helping to make that adoption happen in your case. And also some former hosts, former morning host for a long time, Sean Harriet, was an adoptive father, and longtime afternoon news person, Wendy Weiss, an adoptive kid like myself as well. So we always love to hear those stories. So thanks for sharing that, John.
Oh, thank you, Glenn. And yes, we are a family, and we do promote the sanctity of life here on Relevant Radio. Thanks so much, Glenn. As we do every day and every hour, we always start out in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord, to the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, of life, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Coming up shortly, Bishop Donald Hying, the Bishop of Madison, Wisconsin, is going to join us to discuss our identity, purpose, and destiny as Christians. A little bit later this hour, our spiritual director, Father James Kubicki, will be with us to talk about Pope Francis' latest apostolic trip to Hungary and Slovakia and how he encouraged Catholics to spend more time in Eucharistic adoration to become more Christ-like. We'll also bring you another episode of Glenn's Story Corner. All that and much more coming up here this hour on Morning Air. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from 1 Corinthians 13:4. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful." The Apostle St. John teaches us that God is love. Without love or charity, we have absolutely nothing. They will know us. They will know that we are Christians because of our love. Love is the essence of the Christian life. Love is an action rather than a quality or a condition. Besides, love does patient and kind things. Love suffers for a long time and removes the burdens of others. According to the Apostle St. Paul, love is not related just to feelings or sex, but to joy and truth. It's not egocentric, but centered on others. When God speaks of love, it means something very different from what we mean. Let's learn from God's love, who is love itself. We always pray with great confidence, "Jesus, I trust in you." Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. As Christians, we are no different than anyone else in our search for meaning and personal identity and destiny. But as Christians, we also have at our disposal the guiding testimony of sacred scripture, the eternal and inspired word of God. It's within these sacred stories and teachings that we begin to uncover who we are and where we are bound. As Saint Jerome, the great scripture scholar, once said, "Ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ." And now joining us is His Excellency Bishop Donald Hying from the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin, to discuss our identity, purpose, and destiny as Catholic Christians. Bishop Donald Hying is the fifth bishop of the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin. He was an auxiliary bishop of the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, Wisconsin from 2011 to 2015, and bishop of the Diocese of Gary, Indiana from 2015 to 2019. Your Excellency Bishop Hying, thank you so much for joining us once again. It's always a blessing to be with you.
Hey, good morning, John and Glenn. It's always a blessing to be on your show. Thank you for your witness to Christ.
Absolutely. That's why we exist, to bring Christ to the world through this media of relevant radio and all the available media that we can. Could you talk about why it's important to discuss every once in a while these foundational things in our lives, things like identity, purpose, and destiny?
Yeah, I've been on a kick lately just talking about those three questions. When you think about it, if I know who I am, if I know my purpose, and if I know where I'm going, I'm fully equipped to live an abundant and meaningful life. And as Christians, we're given direct, clear, beautiful, and fully true answers to all of those questions. You know, so we know that who we are beloved children of God, made in the image of the Father, purchased with the precious blood of Christ and anointed in the Holy Spirit. That's our deepest identity, and it defines all of us, initiated into the life of the church. Our purpose here on earth is to know, love, and serve God, and to bring as many people as we can with us into that saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Our destiny is to live with God forever in the kingdom of heaven, for eternity, forever and ever. So if I know those three realities, then I'm equipped to live my life as God wants me to. And sadly, I think many people, including many Christians and Catholics, don't really know those three fundamental things, or at least don't think about them enough where they become the guiding principles of our life. So I've just been on a mission to talk about that lately in different contexts.
Excellency, do you believe that this is something that's in the human heart? Even non-Christians are looking for purpose. Why are we here? Why am I doing what I do? I think it's sort of innate. It's part of our DNA.
Absolutely. So if we deny God, if we live as an atheist even, we're still going to make up some sort of meaning structure, because we can't live without meaning. So even the most disbelieving person is still going to create some kind of meaning structure to give them hope and purpose, or else they just fall into despair. So even nihilism, in a sense, is some sort of affirmation of faith. You're still asserting something to be true, and you're living by that principle. But for us, we have this glorious, beautiful truth, you know, that God has created us, that God has saved us, that God calls us to this eternal life with him. But as much as we crave eternity, God wants that even more for us, because his desire is infinite and perfect. And his greatest desire is that we live in a relationship with him now in this earth and forever in the next life.
Excellency Bishop Hyang, I think that we can learn so much by our first Pope, St. Peter, who in 1 Peter 2, 9, and 10 gives us some very, very clear direction. The beautiful scripture passage that we can meditate on that describes our identity.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, think of everything that Peter went through to come to that fundamental truth. I mean, he lived with Jesus for 3 years. He experienced his miracles. He heard his preaching. He walked on water. You know, he denied Jesus at the time of the cross, and yet the fullness of the resurrection was given that fullness of life and of purpose. And so he speaks authoritatively about our life on high in Christ and how we're called to give witness to what we have seen and heard. And that's what he did.
Excellency, I just want to share for our listeners this short scripture from St. Peter in 1 Peter 2, 9. It's very powerful. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are a people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. That is very, very deep, Excellency.
And he knows that from his own personal life, right, that he was called, that he was forgiven, that he now lives in the light. And so he speaks from the power and authority of his own life in Christ. But yeah, once in a while, it's fruitful, I think, to ponder, what would my life be without Christ? And what would my life be without God? You know, that I'd be not forgiven, I would not know mercy, I would not know eternal life. So sometimes it's fruitful to ponder, you know, our life without God in order to make us more aware and grateful for what we've been given, you know, the enormity of grace that has been offered to us, the salvation given to us in Christ.
St. Peter points out various descriptions. He calls us a chosen race, for example. Can you talk a little bit about these titles that he's describing us as believers? A chosen race, God's possession, holy, royal priests?
Yes, a chosen race certainly calls us back to the Old Testament, you know, the chosen people, that God, that Yahweh, chose the Jewish people as his people, as a people peculiarly his own, as Deuteronomy puts it, and entered into a sacred covenant with them. And out of that chosen people emerged Jesus Christ. So we have been chosen, we have been called. You know, that the church, the word ecclesia, comes from the Greek, which means to be called out. You know, that we're summoned forth from darkness into light, that we have become members of the church, and to remember that all of us, by virtue of baptism, have been baptized into the priesthood of Jesus Christ. You know, so when we anoint a newly baptized person with chrism, the beautiful prayer that goes with that speaks of Jesus as priest, prophet, and king, that we're baptized into that priesthood. So the ordained priesthood, the hierarchical priesthood, exists in order to serve the priesthood of the baptized, the laity, who are called into the world to sanctify the world and to evangelize and to make disciples. So we see there that all of us have a share in Christ's priesthood. And what is a priest? A mediator between God and man, a bridge, pontifex. The Latin word for bridge was one of the first titles of the Pope, that we're called to be a bridge, a mediator, to lead other people to experience God. And that's our mission, that's our purpose.
He also reminds us that you have not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. God's infinite ocean of mercy is at our disposal.
Mm. Yeah, think of St. Faustina and the divine mercy. You know, that I contemplate a crucifix often, and think of the moment when the soldier pierced the side of Christ, and the blood and water came out as symbols of baptism and the Eucharist. What didn't come out? It wasn't vengeance. It wasn't divine wrath. It wasn't punishment for the death of Christ. What came out was this torrent of mercy, and that mercy continues to flow through the church, her ministry, and, of course, most profoundly, her sacraments. So God's mercy covers all of our sins if we turn to him. And that's where the power of confession becomes so palpable, that I can go to confession, I can lay down my burden of sin, I can confess my sins, I can express contrition, do penance, and be absolved of those sins, be set free. What a powerful gift.
Absolutely. We're speaking with His Excellency Bishop Donald Hying, the Bishop of the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin, talking about our true identity, purpose, and destiny as Catholic Christians. Excellency, St. Peter also talks about that we are God's possession and that we are holy, a holy nation. Can you further explain what Peter means?
Yeah, the word holy is God's nature. So holiness is to God what humanness is to us. And the good news of our faith is that God wants to share his holiness, his life, his nature with us. So the church is holy not because we're so great, but because God's holiness imbues the church as the body of Christ, as the bride of Christ. So we're called to be holy, you know, to stand out as a people claimed by God, that we belong to him. You know, and St. Paul reminds us that, you know, we don't belong to ourselves. We have been purchased and at a price. You know, so he says, glorify God in your body, that you don't belong to you. You know, you're not the master of your destiny. You've handed your life over to Christ, and he has set us free. So he's our master. He's our teacher. You know, he's our Lord, and we serve him. And yet in that service, paradoxically, we're set free.
I believe it was St. John Henry Newman that spoke about that we all have a specific mission in this world. Our mission is different than everybody else's mission. Can you talk about mission and purpose for us as Catholic Christians?
Yeah, I love the spirituality of St. Francis de Sales, because he would say in his Introduction to the Devout Life that by our state of life, by our temperament, by our personality, by the particular circumstances of our life, God has uniquely placed us exactly where he wants us to be. So when we think of the person that perhaps we're married to, or our parents, our children, our siblings, people we work with, the vocation we've embraced, that God has called us to, that in the particular circumstances of that, we are uniquely placed to be the saint that God has called us to be. And each one of us is different in that call, and yet we respond to that universal call to holiness. So we study the lives of the saints to be inspired and to learn, but we're not called to be them. You know, we're called to be ourselves, you know, the self that God has created us to be, you know, to be this unique saint, this unique person that he has created and loved. And our mission is to become fully ourselves and then to give witness to Christ, you know, by every action and word of our life, you know, for the brief time that we're here on earth.
Can you talk about priorities, Excellency? God, our family, and then whatever it is that we do, whatever our vocation is, the importance of putting it in perspective, having the right priority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think contemplating eternal life prioritizes life for us, because we can ask ourselves, what is this in light of eternity? Or in light of eternity, you know, how should I act in this way? Or how do I make a decision in this circumstance? Yeah, so God is our radical center. He is our ultimate priority. He is the greatest value of our life. And once we place God at the center, everything else is going to find its harmony, its motion in relationship to God. Yes, so I think if we just contemplated the mystery of death, judgment, and eternal life every morning in our morning prayer, it would just kind of put everything into priority. You know, so when when we feel overwhelmed, when we feel anxious, when we're afraid or angry, you know, we just ask ourselves, this is all passing. You know, what remains is eternal life in God. And just remember that so many things that we think are so important in the moment, we're not even going to remember 6 months or a year from now. But what remains is God. And that helps us prioritize our energies, our activity, our value. You know, we can ask ourselves, is this leading me towards God or away from God? You know, whatever it might be.
Bishop Hang, in the final minute that we have, we started talking about how we as Catholics have the Holy Scriptures to feed us, but we also have the Holy Eucharist to feed us with the true presence of our Lord Jesus, the connection between our ultimate purpose and the Holy Eucharist.
Yeah, when we celebrate the Eucharist, Earth unites to Heaven. The earthly liturgy shares in the heavenly liturgy, which means when we celebrate Mass, when we enter into the Mass, we enter the vast, beautiful world of the resurrection. So in a very clear and real way, in those Eucharistic moments, we already share in the life of heaven. And so that's the eschaton. We already see the end and destiny of our life when we go to Mass.
Well, thank you so much, Your Excellency, Bishop Hang, for being with us to help us to just think about these important things, our identity, purpose, and our true destiny as Catholic Christians. Thanks again.
Well, thanks so much, John. God bless.
God Bye-bye. Bless you, too. Bishop Donna Hine, the Bishop of the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin. Now, we need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, Father James Kubicki is going to be with us to talk about the Holy Father, Pope Francis' latest apostolic trip to Hungary and Slovakia. So stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air after this short timeout.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
31 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks for joining us. Coming up a little bit later, we're going to have another episode of Glenn's Story Corner for you. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, our Holy Father, Pope Francis, just returned to Rome from his second apostolic trip since the pandemic began. It included a brief stop in Hungary for the closing of the Eucharistic Congress, and then a longer visit to Slovakia. And now joining us to talk about the Holy Father's trip is our spiritual director today, Father James Kubicki. Father Kubicki is a Jesuit priest, the director of the St. Francis Mission on the Rosebud Reservation in South Dakota, and a Relevant Radio contributor with his daily prayer reflections, as well as a longtime contributor to Morning Air. Good morning, Father Kubicki. Thanks for joining us. Always good to be with you.
Always good to be with you, too, and with all our listeners. I really enjoy our weekly, as often as we can, conversation. So good to be with you today.
Father Kubicki, in his recent apostolic trip, he just got back to Rome, I believe, yesterday from Hungary and Slovakia. The Holy Father, Pope Francis, encouraged Catholics at the International Eucharistic Congress in Budapest, Hungary, to spend more time in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament to become more Christ-like. I thought this would be a great opportunity to talk about the importance of Eucharistic adoration, since it's on the heart of the Holy Father.
Definitely, John. It's a great topic and so important today because, you know, as our bishops are discussing and reflecting on having a period of Eucharistic revival in our country, it's important for us to see the relationship between what we believe regarding the Eucharist and also adoration. The two go together. You know, if it's simply a piece of bread, a wafer, then we would be idolaters to kneel down and bow before the monstrance or the tabernacle. The fact that it is no longer bread and wine, but has become the very body and blood of Jesus Christ means that we approach the Eucharist with great reverence. And Eucharistic adoration helps us do that because it's a way of expressing our belief in Jesus' presence there in the tabernacle, and also in Eucharistic adoration when he's exposed on the altar in the monstrance. So it's really an important part of our faith, and I know there are some parts of our country, I think in particular of the Twin Cities, where there are 24/7 Eucharistic chapels open for the faithful to come and adore, and it has had an effect in that archdiocese in particular in the number of vocations that have come forward. So it's a very powerful way for us to express our belief, but also be blessed by our Lord.
Father Kubicki, you just reminded me that here in the Chicago area, there's also at least a couple of dozen Eucharistic chapels. Some of them have been perpetual adoration, and some of them have not been 24 hours a day because of the pandemic here in the last 18 months. But Eucharistic adoration is so powerful. I remember earlier this summer, the first time I was able to go back into the chapel at my local parish, St. Catherine Labor, where they have had perpetual adoration for many, many years. I walked in for the first time since the pandemic. It had been well over a year since I'd been in there, and I was just blown away. Almost tears came to my eyes when I realized, oh my goodness, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for just the opportunity to spend some time with him. It was just so moving, and we can so easily take it for granted, but when it's taken away from us, then we realize the beautiful gift that we have.
That's really true. And that's where I just wish all of our listeners, and maybe some of our listeners have stories of what Eucharistic adoration has meant to them, how it has helped them, not only in their own prayer life and relationship with Jesus, but maybe how it's impacted their daily lives, how it's maybe brought more peace to them and their family, has made them a more loving person. Because you're right, you know, the effects of Eucharistic adoration in our lives can be very powerful, and when we don't have that opportunity, the absence should make our hearts grow fonder. But all of us should have a desire to, let's say, adore our Lord in the tabernacle, if our church is open, if we can go inside and just spend a brief moment thanking our Lord for his presence and bringing our own concerns, our burdens to him. It doesn't have to be a Eucharistic chapel. It can be just our regular church where Jesus is present in the tabernacle. So it's, I think, a very important thing that we really need to promote more and more in our church, in our country.
Absolutely. And I absolutely want to invite our listeners, if you attend Eucharistic adoration, if you go visit our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, and you want to share your experiences with our Lord Jesus Christ in front of Eucharistic adoration, we have open lines. You can give us a call, 888-914-9149. How has our Lord in his Eucharistic presence transformed your life? Give us a call, 888-914-9149. In fact, Father Kubicki, Pope Francis talked about how the Blessed Sacrament can be transformative, and he said this in a homily in Budapest at the end of that International Eucharistic Congress. And it was in front of a huge crowd. I think there was 100,000 people there, and he said, "Dear brothers and sisters, let us allow our encounter with Jesus in the Eucharist to transform us, just as it transformed the great and courageous saints you venerate." So the transformative aspect of the Holy Eucharist when we contemplate and pray in front of our Lord.
Yes, you know, when we receive our Lord in Holy Communion, he transforms us. He strengthens us in our union with him and as members of the body of Christ. But even if we don't receive our Lord in Holy Communion, just being in his presence has a transforming power. I often think of how the sun, and, you know, not having much, I should say not having any hair on top of my head. If I go out into the sun for any longer period of time without a cap or hat, I burn. And to think for a moment, just to spend 15 minutes in the presence of the creator of the sun and what effect that has on us spiritually. Often people wonder, well, I don't know what to do when I go to Eucharistic adoration. I sit there and my mind is empty, and so I read a book or I do something. It just to be in his presence and allow that power that created the sun and the universe to shine into our hearts and onto us, that has a transforming power that we may not be aware of at the time, but over the long haul, is certainly effective and active.
Absolutely. And Father Kubicki, Pope Francis also mentioned that the Eucharist is here to remind us of who God is. God is presenting himself as bread broken, as love crucified and bestowed. Powerful words by the Holy Father.
That's right. You know, he's reminding us that every time the Eucharist is celebrated, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, Jesus is making present that greatest act of love that the world has ever known, where he offered himself on the cross. And now he makes that offering of himself present to us every time we celebrate Mass. And with that great act of love, we're there receiving, again, the power of that greatest act of love. And so to be mindful of that when we come to Mass, that we're going to, as it were, participate, not that Jesus is being crucified and dying again, but he's taking what he did thousands of years ago and bringing it right into the present so that it's the effect of his loving offering on the cross can be present in our lives as well.
Someone who is very dear to you and myself and many of our listeners is our co-patron, St. John Paul II, who really was responsible for reinvigorating our church, not only in this country, but around the world when it came to Eucharistic adoration. JP2 once said, the church and the world have a great need for Eucharistic adoration. So it's not just Pope Francis, but Pope John Paul II as well, who has emphasized the importance of spending time in front of the Blessed Sacrament.
Yes, and, you know, St. Teresa of Calcutta, Mother Teresa, once wrote a letter to a group involved in promoting life here in the United States. And she said to them, if we spend time in Eucharistic adoration, what we're doing is recognizing Jesus hidden under the appearance of bread and wine. And she said, that helps us then when we go forth from the Eucharistic chapel to recognize Jesus present in the distressing disguise of the poor. So she made a big connection between seeing Jesus present under the appearance of bread and wine and then seeing Jesus present in our brothers and sisters.
Absolutely. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. If you want to share about spending time in Eucharistic adoration and you want to share your experiences with our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Nancy is calling us from Minneapolis. Nancy, good morning and welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Father Kubicki.
Good morning, Father. Thank you for taking my call. I'm getting ready to go into Mass when I heard you talking. I just wanted to share, I've gone to Adoration Chapel for quite some time now, and it's changed for me over the time. But in the beginning when I went, and I think a lot of people are just curious, I didn't know what to do. I'd just go in and remember to genuflect on both knees, but I didn't know much else what to do for an hour. And recently I read a book that said what kind of happened for me. And it was it compared the experience of getting a suntan when you go to the beach. And what it said was that if you're reading a book, if you're saying the rosary, if you're praying, or if you're just sitting there looking at the host, it's like being out in the sun. You know, if the Lord can work on you, no matter whether he's even sitting there, even if you fall asleep, which happens sometimes, that when you're there, the Lord just works on you in so many ways, and you don't have to worry about what to do.
Yeah, Nancy, that's a very good point, and it's a great reminder to us. We're so kind of action-oriented activists where we feel we always have to be doing something, and we feel if nothing's happening, if we're just sitting there, and if we fall asleep, you know, we think, oh, well, that was a waste of time. Not at all. As you're pointing out, you know, just to be in his presence has a powerful effect on us, Nancy. So thank you for that witness.
Thanks so much, Nancy. And we all want to get a suntan, a spiritual suntan in front of our Lord. Again, if you want to chime in and share what Eucharistic adoration means to you personally, please give us a call, 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short break, Father, as we continue with Father James Kubicki. Stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
From Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morales, coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
46 minutes after the hour, welcome back to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks for being with us as we continue our conversation with Father James Kubicki, our spiritual director and the director of the St. Francis Mission on the Rosebud Reservation in western South Dakota. We're talking about the Holy Father's call for making time for Eucharistic adoration and talking about what Eucharistic adoration means to you. If you want to call us and share your experience with Eucharistic adoration, you can give us a ring, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We do have a few lines that are open. Father Kubicki, welcome back.
Thank you. So again, a great topic, John, for us to be discussing because, again, as the bishops are concerned that, and because of different surveys that have been taken, that belief in the Eucharist, that many Catholics don't believe what Catholics should believe about the Eucharist, that it's not simply a symbol, but it's the very presence, the real presence, as we refer to it, of Jesus. And so I often, you know, you hear stories about different things. I remember once there was an underpass in Chicago that had some people thought it was an appearance of the Blessed Mother, but it was simply the way the water had come down, and people were lining up to see this image. And
I remember it, Father. I was actually there. I was there, okay. If you can believe it. I reported for Relevant Radio back in the early days. I'll never forget. I think it was on Drew Mariani's show. I think we called it Our Lady of the Bridge at the time because there was this incredible image on the side of the walls made with just water that looked like the Blessed Mother. And people were moved. I mean, it was kind of a very interesting phenomenon.
Well, what I love is Father Benedict Groeschel of happy memory. He once said, you know, people get so excited about those things. He says, but why can't we get as excited about the fact that Jesus is present right there in our church?
Exactly.
And we don't have to go lining up to see him. We can go there and meet him right there in our churches. So I think that's a good reminder to us.
Absolutely. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords present, body, blood, soul, and divinity, right there in that tabernacle, in the Blessed Sacrament, in those Eucharistic chapels around our country and around the world. Father, for somebody that's never experienced Eucharistic adoration, just a few reminders of what they can do in those moments alone with our Lord.
Okay. Well, Nancy had a good point when she said, you know, whatever we do, Jesus is present and he's giving us a suntan. He's influencing us. But, you know, I think the first thing to remember is just to come in and acknowledge his presence with a genuflection or double kneeling, bowing before him. And I always recommend to people just simply begin very quietly and recognize his presence and say what's on your mind. And, you know, whether you're grateful or for something that happened or you're really burdened by something, but just to spend some quiet time silently recognizing him. St. John Vianney once saw an elderly man in church, and he'd see him there from time to time, and he would just sit there in church, and St. John Vianney went up to him and said, you know, what do you do when you're here? And the man said, well, I look at him, and he looks at me. And that's the simple thing.
Father. That so much sums it up right there. I love that story. I've heard it many times. It's awesome.
Right. And, you know, it's because if you really love someone, you can be comfortable in their presence. You can look into their eyes. You don't have to look away. You don't have to say anything. You can just be there. And so beginning a time of Eucharistic adoration, just aware of his presence, just being there. And then one might pray the rosary, meditating on the mysteries of the rosary. That's the way we go to Jesus with Mary, or reading a particular spiritual book that'll help us, or the office of readings, the breviary, whatever it may be, the gospel of the day. But I think the important thing is to realize we don't have to do anything. It's enough just to be there in his presence.
Absolutely. Father, Jeannie is with us from the Bluegrass State, from Kentucky. Jeannie, good morning. Welcome to Morning Air.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for calling.
I just want to say that Holy Hour means everything to me, absolutely everything to me. And when I first began Holy Hours, I was introduced to it indirectly. I didn't know how to pray. Don't let that stop you. If anyone's listening out there and worried, just go to him and say, Jesus, here I am. I don't know how to pray. And he'll teach you. And I think that I want to praise God because being with him brought me physical healing. It's brought me emotional healing. And I often think of Magdalene, who just sat at his feet and let Jesus love her. And so many of us need to do that. We need to be still and just let Jesus love us and to remember that he's always with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And that's what the Eucharist does for me. And so I want to give praise to God and thank him for healing me in so many ways through this blessed sacrament. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jeannie. Father?
Yeah, that's great, Jeannie. You know, to, again, witness to the effect of that and to remind us, once again, we're so activist-oriented. We feel like, well, I have to be doing something, and if I'm not doing something, it's a waste of time. But when you love another person, just to be in their presence is enough. It says, I love you, I know you love me, and that love together is transformative. So thank you, Jeannie, for that witness.
Thanks so much, Jeannie. Grisel is with us from Atlanta, Georgia. Good morning, Grisel.
Good morning. How are you today?
Blessed. Thanks for joining us.
Beautiful. Well, I was the coordinator for 10 years at our parish in Kennesaw, that's north of Atlanta, for perpetual adoration. And I used to tell all the ladies, you know, we spend so much time in the grocery store. We have time to go and do our nails. We have time to do our hair. We have time to so many things during the week. How could we not have 1 hour per week with the one that created us, with the one that loves us? So, I'm sorry. It's just, I don't understand. So, you know, I tell people, you know, when we were at the school, you know, the people say afterwards, talking in the parking lot, and I said, why can't you just come to the chapel? You know, just say, sit there. You don't need to do anything. He's just waiting for you, and he will fulfill, you know, your heart will be so full of love. I didn't know. I'm sorry.
That's okay, Grisel. It's okay. Father, she has incredible passion.
Oh, yeah. And you know, I can't help thinking of today's gospel, you know, that the great love that when one knows God's mercy and love and how God, through the Blessed Sacrament, has been present to Grisel, she's just so full of gratitude and love. She wants to share that with so many other people. And it's a great witness, again, of the power of Eucharistic adoration.
We have time for Meredith calling us from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Meredith, welcome to Morning Air. Very quickly, we're running out of time.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. I just wanted to share, I just wrote a book about Eucharistic adoration. It's a guide for women. It's called Draw Close to Jesus. It's published by Our Sunday Visitor. And I'm just so excited that you guys are talking about adoration and that the Pope Francis is reminding us of how critical it is and how important and beautiful it is for us to go and spend time with Jesus. He's there waiting for us, and he loves us. And it's just wonderful that this is becoming part of our conversation again.
Congratulations on your book. You're going to have to leave your contact info with Mariano, our producer, so that we can check back with you and maybe talk about your book coming up in the upcoming weeks. Thanks so much. Father, we're just about out of time. Can you give us some closing thoughts on the importance of Eucharistic adoration as our Holy Father, Pope Francis, has been encouraging us here in these last few days?
Well, again, it's a way of expressing our belief and helping that belief grow, not only for us individually, but as a witness to our parishes, to our city, to our world. And there's that, again, transformative power. We're all parts of the one body. As we are transformed and made more holy, so we help the entire body grow. So I really encourage Eucharistic adoration for all of our listeners.
Well, Father, I know that for this reporter, Eucharistic adoration has been such an important part of my life. I was inspired by the late, great Archbishop Fulton Sheen, who had his hour of power every day for over a half a century in front of our Lord. And he would get ready for his Life is Worth Living television show by praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I was blessed to write two documentary films. I wrote these movies in front of the Blessed Sacrament, a little chapel at St. Catherine Laboureau in suburban Chicago. So I know our Lord is there. There's power spending time with Him.
Indeed. Yep. And that's a great parish. I give a shout out to St. Catherine Laboureau. I gave a number of talks there on the spiritual exercises, and a lot of great things going on there. And I'm sure Eucharistic adoration is the engine that is kind of driving all the good things going on there.
Without a doubt. Well, thank you, Father Kubicki. Thanks so much for joining us. It's a fantastic topic. This is why we exist. It's all about our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you again.
Amen. Thank you.
Father James Kubicki, the director of the St. Francis Mission on the Rosebud Reservation in South Dakota and a relevant radio contributor. It's now time for another edition of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called This is the Time to Give by Daniel Loy. Marquis de Lafayette was a French officer who provided invaluable assistance to George Washington and the struggling American army. After the war was over, he returned to France and resumed his life as a farmer of many estates. In 1783, the harvest was a terrible one, and there were many who suffered as a result. Lafayette's farms were unaffected by the devastating crop failures. One of his workers offered what seemed to be good advice to Lafayette. The bad harvest has raised the price of wheat. This is the time to sell. After thinking about the hungry peasants and the surrounding villages, Lafayette disagreed and said, "No, this is the time to give." God blesses us not just for our own benefit, but also so that we can be a blessing to others in need. The tendency to hoard and try and build up more and more is a dangerous one, and the best antidote to greed is to be a generous giver. There's certainly no shortage of people in need today, and while we cannot meet every need, if we do what we can, God will multiply resources so that it is enough. From Luke 6:38, "Give, and gifts will be given to you. A good measure, packed together, shaken down, and overflowing, will be poured into your lap. For the measure with which you measure will in return be measured out to you."
So much, Glenn. I just want to remind you, you can always listen and download Glenn's Story Corners or the Morning Air podcast or any segment you want to share with anybody. Just download it at our Relevant Radio app or at relevantradio.com. You can always join Father Rocky for the Family Rosary Across America with all your prayers and petitions tonight and every night of the week, 7 p.m. Central. That'll do it for this edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverins, producers Gabby Berg, Mariano Gomez, and Sarah Tafoya, our whole Morning Air team. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Happy Mexican Independence Day. Let your light shine before all. God love you. We'll see you tomorrow morning. The Patrick Madrid Show is next.